Speaking of gifts, have we been given the gift of spirit guides?
Yes. And we don't have to talk to them.
Is that a difference, different from a guardian angel?
Yes.
All right, so what does a spirit guide do?
A spirit guide is someone who may know us on a spiritual level. They may know us on an earth level, i.e., you know, somebody known to us or should have been known as a grandparent or aunt or uncle. Or more appropriately, somebody whose rite of passage in a heavenly state is to do those things that they were good at. And what they do is they help people working on those problems of a similar nature here in the on the earth plane. And they do it in the same way that we get subliminal messages. And eventually, you know, if we're open to it, it's going to affect and help us. But we can be tricked too. And to have inappropriate conversations with spirit guides isn't really necessary. My rule of thumb is if I get told something, I digest it, and then I might come back an hour later, a day later, and I might put out in prayer that whoever sent me that, you know, thank you, if you are of God, I appreciate it, but I don't do the back and forth conversation. That way things get done and I can't be tricked. Because people really fall in love with the fact that they talk to spirits. But in fact, the easiest spirit to talk to, and I'm not talking evil here, that's another thing, and that can happen, of course, it's going to be that aunt that was so judgmental. She always had to put her you know, that surreptitious aunt, always had to put her nose into everybody's business. Well, she's doing the same thing, only she's in spirit now. And she wants to be a guide, and she wants to tell everybody what to do. And, you know, she means well, but it's, you know, there's an old expression, the road to hell is lined with bricks of good intentions. And we don't always want whoever comes in first, you know, the easiest person. We don't want them. We want somebody to come in truly out of love and prayer. And usually they just arrive and help us anyway. To make note of them is wonderful. But these guides are not, contrary to popular belief, almost ever lifelong guides. They're there for a period of time to help out.
But you did say that some people speak with evil spirits as well, by design?
By design.
Why would they want to do that?
People want, out of their insecurity, power. And if they feel they can do something that someone else can't, if they're privy to some kind of information that someone else isn't, they feel secure. They feel better. They feel they have something over the next guy. You know, it's part of that animal in us that we have to always tone down. We have to let our spirit sometimes talk to our animal, you know, our animal nature, because our spiritual nature is really who we are. And people will talk to any spirit. And people who want something, their lives are a little bit empty or shallow, they're very introverted, or they've been feeling victimized, and all of a sudden they're a little sensitive. And by the way, most people who have psychic intuition have it as a result of childhood abandonment and abuse. It doesn't have to be harsh abuse, but it's like, you know, when our hearing is bad, our eyesight gets better. So the fact that someone is psychic is great, but sometimes it's as a result of having a troubled childhood, and many people who are very intuitive have many issues. So are they in a position to give advice? I don't know. But they are in a position sometimes, certainly equal to the rest of us, if not more so, to feel something special. Their life now finally has meaning. They finally can do something someone else can't. And you know something? We get seduced by that stuff. And we have to be real careful.
Well, a lot of people do.
I call it psychic seduction.
Well, they're very good at it, aren't they?
Yes, because they have all the time in the world, and they've learned. And who knows what things are attached to. I had a family in Iowa, which, oddly enough, by the way, there's an area of Iowa that has had some of the worst cases of possession.
Why?
I believe it was cursed by the Indians. And they are very strong spiritual people. And they were given a raw deal. It doesn't mean all the Indians cursed. Perhaps a medicine man was really upset. Maybe lost his family. Because this is, we're talking the Corn Belt. And we're talking the remote part of Iowa. And there's a There's a very famous case in, it's called Erling, Iowa. I believe it happened in the 20s. This was one of those cases where, with witnesses, because this happens, you know, almost never. I want people to know that, but it does happen. You know, this is the kind of thing where, you know, blood and tears became little rats that ran around and turned into pigs and the whole bit. This was just an absolute, you know, one of those once-in-a-century cases. I had a case about 15 miles away, and the case started in Texas. It involved an accident where a very wonderful guy happened to say, if I can get out of the hospital in the next month, I'd sell my soul to the devil. And you know something? Someone was listening. And it began a story that resulted in that family were 6 suicides and homicides within a couple years. He was in an accident where he had 33 bones broken, and the house was set on fire. And in this whole process, there was a little boy spirit that appeared and started leading messages on the blackboard. This was where it really started in Iowa. And he said, I need a home. Can I stay here? And he would write how he used to live there, and he's looking for his parents, and he's lost. And what happened is, it wasn't a little boy. It was a spirit that was waiting for someone to say, well, then you can move into our house.